Chapter 37. The Expected Visitors of Peter Ivanovich. A small party composed of two men and a woman. They noticed him too, immediately, and stopped short, as if to consult. But in a moment the woman, moving aside, motioned with her arm to the two men, who, leaving the drive at once, struck across the large neglected lawn, or rather grass plot, and made directly for the house. The woman remained on the path waiting for Razumov's approach. As he had recognized him, he too had recognized her at the first glance. He had been made known to her at Zurich, where he had broken his journey while on his way from Dresden. They had been much together for the 3 days of his stay. She was wearing the very same costume in which he had seen her first. A blouse of crimson silk made her noticeable at a distance. With that she wore a short brown skirt and a leather belt. Her complexion was the color of coffee and milk, but very clear, her eyes black and glittering, her figure erect. A lot of thick hair, nearly white, was done up loosely under a moldy Tyrolese hat of dark cloth, which seemed to have lost some of its trimmings. The expression of her face was grave, intent. So grave that Razumov, after approaching her close, felt obliged to smile. She greeted him with a manly hand grasp. "What? Are you going away?" she exclaimed. "How is that, Razumov?" "I am going away, because I haven't been asked to stay," Razumov answered, returning the pressure of her hand with much less force than as he had put into it. She jerked her head sideways like one who understands. Meantime Razumov's eyes had strayed after the two men. They were crossing the grass plot obliquely, without haste. The shorter of the two was buttoned up in a narrow overcoat of some thin gray material, which came nearly to his heels. His companion, much taller and broader, wore a short, close-fitting jacket and tight trousers tucked into shabby top boots. The woman, who had sent them out of Razumov's way apparently, spoke in a business-like voice. "I had to come rushing from Zurich on purpose, to meet the train and take these two along here to see Peter Ivanovich. I've just managed it." "Ah, indeed," Razumov said perfunctorily, and very vexed at her staying behind to talk to him from Zurich. "Yes, of course. And these two, they come from..." she interrupted, without emphasis, "from quite another direction. From a distance too. A considerable distance." Razumov shrugged his shoulders. The two men from a distance, after having reached the wall of the terrace, disappeared suddenly at its foot, as if the earth had opened to swallow them up. "Oh, well, they have just come from America." The woman in the crimson blouse shrugged her shoulders too a little, before making that statement. "The time is drawing near," she interjected, as if speaking to herself. "Did not tell them who you were. Yakovlich would have wanted to embrace you. Is that he with the wisp of hair hanging from his chin, in the long coat? You've guessed aright. That's Yakovlich. And they could not find their way here from the station without you coming on purpose from Zurich, to show it to them? Verily, without women we can do nothing. So it stands written, and apparently so it is." He was conscious of an immense lassitude under his effort to be sarcastic. And he could see that as he had detected it with those steady, brilliant black eyes. "What is the matter with you?" "I don't know. Nothing. I've had a devil of a day." She waited, with her black eyes fixed on his face. "Then, what of that? You men are so impressionable and self-conscious. One day is like another, hard, hard, and there's an end of it, till the great day comes. I came over for a very good reason. They wrote to warn Peter Ivanovich of their arrival. But where from? Only from Cherbourg on a bit of ship's notepaper. Anybody could have done that. Yakovlich has lived for years and years in America. I am the only one at hand who had known him well in the old days. I knew him very well indeed. So Peter Ivanovich telegraphed, asking me to come. It's natural enough, is it not? You came to vouch for his identity?" inquired Razumov. "Yes. Something of the kind. 15 years of a life like his make changes in a man. Lonely, like a crow in a strange country. When I think of Yakovlich, before he went to America, the softness of the low tone caused Razumov to glance at her sideways. She sighed. Her black eyes were looking away, as he had plunged the fingers of her right hand deep into the mass of nearly white hair, and stirred them there absently. When she withdrew her hand, the little hat perched on the top of her head remained slightly tilted, with a queer inquisitive effect, contrasting strongly with the reminiscent murmur that escaped her. We were not in our first youth even then. But a man is a child always. Razumov thought suddenly, they have been living together. Then aloud, why didn't you follow him to America? He asked point blank. She looked up at him with a perturbed air. Don't you remember what was going on 15 years ago? It was a time of activity. The revolution has its history by this time. You are in it, and yet you don't seem to know it. Yakovlich went away then on a mission. I went back to Russia. It had to be so. Afterwards there was nothing for him to come back to. Ah, indeed, muttered Razumov, with affected surprise. Nothing. What are you trying to insinuate? She exclaimed quickly. Well, and what then, if he did get discouraged a little? ... He looks like a Yankee, with that goatee hanging from his chin. A regular Uncle Sam, growled Razumov. And you? You who went to Russia? You did not get discouraged. Never mind. Yakovlich is a man who cannot be doubted. He, at any rate, is the right sort. Her black, penetrating gaze remained fixed upon Razumov while she spoke, and for a moment afterwards. Pardon me, Razumov inquired coldly, but does it mean that you, for instance, think that I am not the right sort? She made no protest, gave no sign of having heard the question. She continued looking at him in a manner which he judged not to be absolutely unfriendly. In Zurich when he passed through S, he had taken him under her charge, in a way, and was with him from morning till night during his stay of 2 days. She took him round to see several people. At first she talked to him a great deal and rather unreservedly, but always avoiding all reference to herself. Towards the middle of the second day she fell silent, attending him zealously as before, and even seeing him off at the railway station, where she pressed his hand firmly through the lowered carriage window, and, stepping back without a word, waited till the train moved. He had noticed that she was treated with quiet regard. He knew nothing of her parentage, nothing of her private history or political record. He judged her from his own private point of view, as being a distinct danger in his path. Urged is not perhaps the right word. It was more of a feeling, the summing up of slight impressions aided by the discovery that he could not despise her as he despised all the others. He had not expected to see her again so soon. No, decidedly, her expression was not unfriendly. Yet he perceived an acceleration in the beat of his heart. The conversation could not be abandoned at that point. He went on in accents of scrupulous inquiry, is it perhaps, because I don't seem to accept blindly every development of the general doctrine, such for instance as the feminism of our great Peter Ivanovich? If that is what makes me suspect, then I can only say I would scorn to be a slave even to an idea. As he had been looking at him all the time, not as a listener looks at one, but as if the words he chose to say were only of secondary interest. When he finished she slipped her hand, by a sudden and decided movement, under his arm, and impelled him gently towards the gate of the grounds. He felt her firmness, and obeyed the impulsion at once, just as the other two men had, a moment before, obeyed unquestioningly the wave of her hand. They made a few steps like this. No, Razumov, your ideas are probably all right, she said. You may be valuable, very valuable. What's the matter with you is that you don't like us. She released him. He met her with a frosty smile. Am I expected then, to have love as well as convictions? She shrugged her shoulders. You know very well what I mean. People have been thinking you not quite wholehearted. I have heard that opinion from one side and another. But I have understood you at the end of the first day. Razumov interrupted her, speaking steadily. I assure you that your perspicacity is at fault here. What phrases he uses, she exclaimed parenthetically. H. Kirillo Sidorovich, you like other men are fastidious, full of self-love and afraid of trifles. Moreover, you had no training. What you want is to be taken in hand by some woman. I am sorry I am not staying here a few days. I am going back to Zurich tomorrow, and shall take Yakovlich with me most likely. This information relieved Razumov. I am sorry to, he said. But, all the same, I don't think you understand me. He breathed more freely. She did not protest, but asked, and how did you get on with Peter Ivanovich? You have seen a good deal of each other. How is it between you two? Not knowing what answer to make, the young man inclined his head slowly. Her lips had been parted in expectation. She pressed them together, and seemed to reflect. That's all right. This had a sound of finality, but she did not leave him. It was impossible to guess what she had in her mind. Razumov muttered, it is not of me that you should have asked that question. In a moment you shall see Peter Ivanovich himself, and the subject will come up naturally. He will be curious to know what has delayed you so long in this garden. No doubt Peter Ivanovich will have something to say to me. Several things. He may even speak of you, question me. Peter Ivanovich is inclined to trust me generally. Question you? That's very likely. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.